I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm Chef Tom Jackson.
And you're listening to Cooking with Fire.
This week, we're going to be grilling up some lobster tails.
We're also going to break down what we think the best starter grill is and why.
This is Cooking with Fire, a global exploration of barbecue from KMUW.
One of the most constant questions Tom and I both get is which grill is the right grill to buy if you're just starting out. There are a lot of factors to think about here, but in the end, we believe that a classic kettle-style charcoal grill is the ultimate starter grill.
Now, some of you can't use a charcoal grill or anything that burns a real fire, so in that case, get the best gas grill you can afford, and make sure you look at each component, as a lot of cheap gas grills look nice, but start to break down quickly. True 304 stainless steel and cast aluminum parts will last for many years. But what you really want to look at is the guts of the grill. If these are not 304 stainless steel, just know that you'll be getting 18 months or so out of your grill before it will start to need new parts.
With that out of the way, why do we believe that the ubiquitous kettle grill is the perfect starter grill? There are three main reasons. First, the cost is low. A brand new 18.5-inch kettle is under $100 depending on the brand, and a 22.5-inch grill sits right at $100. A reputable brand of kettle grill will last a lifetime, and there isn't much you can spend $100 on today that will last that long.
Second is the versatility. While baking isn't as easy on a kettle-style grill, though certainly doable, it can grill, roast, and smoke with a few quick modifications, which mostly means where you set your charcoal and how you light it. In future episodes, we'll talk about how to get the most out of these different setups.
The third and final reason is that it teaches you how to run a fire and makes you understand the impact that airflow and both direct and indirect heat have on your cook. You can do anything on a kettle grill from pizza to steak to a full brisket. You'll just need to spend a little time with it to get to know exactly how to run it, which for me is half the fun.
And no matter what kind of grill you have, you're going to love my recipe this week. A grilled lobster tail with a cold smoked compound butter.
But first, a little background on Maine lobster. When you think of lobster in the United States, you likely think of the state of Maine. While American lobster can be found up and down the coast of North America, from Newfoundland to North Carolina, 80% of American lobster comes from Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and of course Maine, with Maine producing 75 to 80% of all of that lobster.
One of the most interesting aspects of the Maine lobstermen is the existence of lobster gangs. Dr. James Acheson, a professor of anthropology at the University of Maine, wrote the book The Lobster Gangs of Maine in 1988, and it is a fascinating account of how these communities work to police themselves and protect their livelihood.
At a time when most fishing industries in the U.S. are in trouble due to overfishing and a lack of conservation, Maine is able to continue to produce enough lobster to keep up with demand as well as sustain the lives of lobstermen and their families. These lobster gangs grew from a time in the early 20th century when overfishing was causing problems for lobstermen. Since these communities are supported so heavily by this one industry, they have made agreements that limit areas off the coast of Maine to certain groups, which means that there is always enough lobster to go around during the Maine season, which runs from the end of June until the beginning of December, though lobster are caught year-round.
With these lobster gangs claiming and defending different areas of the ocean, it is now easy to see why lobster itself is consistently available, even to those of us who live in the middle of Kansas.
Now is a perfect time to get into our recipe, so let's cut out to Chef Tom in the All Things Barbecue Teaching Kitchen and get started.
All right, so I'm here in our teaching kitchen, and I'm getting ready to prepare our lobster for the grill. Now, you'll see people grill lobster tails a number of ways. Some people just throw the whole thing on there. Of course, that doesn't really allow you to get any seasoning, any butter, anything like that on the flesh itself. Some people will cut these things right in half completely, which works great when you're grilling flesh side down, but once you tip them over to put some butter on top, they want to fall over. So what I'm going to do is, starting with the shell up, I'm going to have my knife tip at the bottom of the tail and just break through and cut a straight line down the top of the tail. And then I'm going to use my knife to cut straight down through the flesh, but I'm not cutting through the bottom of the shell. At this point, I can crack this open, and I have one big tail with the meat divided on either side, but the shell is intact, so when we go to grill this thing, it's not gonna wanna fall over, and it'll still hold all of the juice from the butters. So the other thing that I like to do with lobster when I'm grilling it is just kind of release the flesh from the shell a little bit by working my finger under it from the fat end of the tail. I'm not going to take it out completely. I want it to stay intact. But by doing this, I'm going to allow the butter to melt down underneath and totally go all the way around the flesh. To season this, we're very simply going to hit it with just a little bit of salt and a little fresh black pepper. All right, I'm going to repeat this with the other tails, and then we'll take them out to grill them up. But today I'm grilling over direct heat, which means there's actual flame that will be touching the flesh while we're grilling our lobster tails. I'm going to place these lobster tails flesh side down to start with to get some nice color, and then here in a bit, we'll flip them over and finish with some butter.
So the lobster tails are on, and we're going to be letting them get a little color, some of that Maillard reaction we all love so much, before flipping them over and adding butter to them.
And here's a key tip for when you're grilling anything. Don't try and flip your food too quickly, no matter what you're cooking. It takes time for the food to get some nice color. And once a little bit of crust is formed on the outside of whatever it is that you're grilling, from lobster to burgers to steak, it will release itself easily from the grill without tearing. If you aren't sure if it's ready, lift it gently with your spatula, and if there's any resistance, give it a little more time.
Let's get back to Chef Tom on the patio as he flips over our lobster tails and gets them all buttered up.
Well, it's only been probably about 4 minutes, but we've got some really nice color on the flesh side of the lobster. So we're flipping it over now. So the flesh is up. And I have some compound butter here that I'm just gonna place right on top of the meat and let it melt in there. And that shell will actually hold it in there. All right, so our butter's in place. It's probably only gonna take a few more minutes. And once the flesh is totally opaque, gonna be about 140 degrees internal temperature, we can take this off the grill. Well, it only took a few more minutes over the nice high heat for us to completely finish these tails. So now we can pull them off and they're ready to serve.
That caps off another episode of Cooking with Fire. This is a great recipe, and we really hope you try it.
And as always, don't forget to head over to kmuw.org to get the full recipe for today's cook.
Let us know if you cook this recipe or any others by emailing us at cookingwithfirepodcast@gmail.com. And if you enjoy the show, head over to iTunes and leave a review. This allows other people to be able to find the show and helps us reach more listeners. Join us next time when Chef Tom and I smoke some maple planked salmon.